Hello and welcome to the 104 Sports Report Episode 2. My name is Alex Brooks. I'm joined alongside Brian Burrows. And Brian, we have a bunch of weekly matchups that just concluded yesterday, including volleyball and men's soccer, along with some women's soccer, who they traveled to Geneseo. And we're going to be talking about, you know, those sports, and we're also going to be talking some field hockey. So, but first and foremost, Brian, how are you doing today?
Alex, you know, I'm really good. I'm having a, it's been a really good start to my day. It was a really good last night. Me and you on the call for WNYO here at Oswego, calling the men's soccer game, went really well. And I'm ready to talk some Lakers sports. But I mean, there, I think, you know where we're starting. We're starting with the volleyball team. Oswego State volleyball team is on a roll. They're 15-6. They're overall, they've won 11 straight games.
I mean, you cannot talk about how on fire they are. They are winning 11 straight. They're also 9-0 at home. Wow, they are taking home field advantage at Max Neal right now, and it feels like no one is stopping them right now. And then their game against Wells College last night, they won 3-0, and that was their third straight sweep. And they have been 4-1 in the SUNYAC, and they're currently fourth in the SUNYAC standings. And man, they have just been on a roll, and I am like pumped to see all of these teams do so well. It's what we live for here at Oswego.
Yeah, I mean, this volleyball team, I mean, it's been the talk of the town. I think if you talk to anybody who knows Laker sports, who's paying any attention, volleyball comes up in almost every conversation we're having. Because I mean, this is unprecedented. They got a new coach this year, Toby Renz, and he has just turned this team around. And I just can't believe 15-6, 11 straight games. Their last loss was, I don't even, when was their last
loss? It was against SUNY Cortland, September 13th, so almost a month since their last loss.
That's crazy. That's insane. And now this week, on Friday, they got two games again this weekend. They got Brockport in the SUNYAC. They got Geneseo in the SUNYAC. This might be one of the biggest weekends for them in the entire season.
Yeah, and I mean, they're currently fourth in the SUNYAC standings, and winning against Brockport and Geneseo is only going to move you up even more in these standings going down the wire. And I mean, you know, padding your stats, being winning 11, winning 12, winning 13, they just want to keep it rolling. And I feel like Coach Renz will really do a good job, and they'll be doing good this weekend.
Yeah, Brockport currently above them. They're second in the SUNYAC, 3-0, 13-4 overall. That's biggest matchup so far. I mean, they obviously, like we said, they lost to Cortland, who's first in the SUNYAC. New Paltz, the number three team, they have them in about 2 weeks' time, October 21st, in New Paltz. But you can't overlook this weekend. Two SUNYAC matchups. Try to get themselves to 6-1 in the conference, because that's what matters.
Yeah, exactly. That's all that matters with the SUNYAC. That's going to be the test on what you're going to do for the rest of the season. I mean, yes, it's nice that you're winning 11 in a row, but if you are behind Brockport and you're behind those teams and you're not able to do well against those teams, well, it's all for naught, because you could have an impressive, hey, we won 11 in a row, but that was against like just a couple SUNYAC opponents. But when it came to the SUNYAC, that's when things get a little dicey. They won against Buffalo State. They won against Fredonia. They won against Potsdam and Plattsburgh State. But yeah, exactly, Brian. SUNY Brockport is in their way. And if they can win on Friday in Brockport, oh, there's going to be more talk, and as well as Geneseo, there's going to be more talk around this team than there already is.
Yeah, they've only got six games left this year, so season's getting close to a close here. Four of those games are against SUNYAC opponents. The only two, SUNY Poly on October 18th, and the final game of the season, Marywood University, October 29th in Marywood. Games, they matter for morale. They matter because you want to just keep the chemistry building. But it's the SUNYAC games that matter. That's what gets you into the SUNYAC playoffs.
Exactly. And I mean, they're not going to just, when they're facing the SUNYAC opponents, they're going to have more energy, like, obviously. But I don't see them against SUNY Poly and then Marywood. I don't think they're going to just be like, all right, well, we locked a SUNYAC place in, or we locked a SUNYAC playoff spot. They're not just going to be like, all right, well, we'll just phone it in against Marywood. I'm pretty sure with Coach Renz and all of these games, it's saying the energy is high. You got to go out there and you got to earn your spot. And that's what they've been doing through this 11-game win streak right now.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to compare teams here because every sport here at Oswego is different. But, I mean, I think you have to look at maybe the men's basketball team from last season. Very close to the end of the season. They were riding a hot wave, just like this team. Unbeaten streak. Mm-hmm. And they went to New Paltz. They took their first loss in the SUNYAC in the season, very close to the end of the season. Now, they used that as just like a confidence. It's like, okay, we're not infallible. But if the volleyball team comes in here, goes to Marywood, they lose, it's like, oh, we just lost our last game. Though it doesn't necessarily matter for the SUNYAC.
Right.
You don't want to go into the playoffs on a low note.
Exactly. And I feel like this team can't get complacent. They can't get complacent in any of these games. Yes, you're riding a good hot streak, but any hot streak can follow with a really cold streak. It can turn on a dime here in any sport. So I feel like these SUNYAC matchups are going to be huge in what this team can do the rest of the way. But if they win at least most of those four games, I would say if they won three or even two, if they split them, that's not terrible. But I feel like they would be good if they won three or even all of those SUNYAC matchups just to get a little bit more momentum going into the playoffs. So, all right. Well, we talked a lot about volleyball. We are going to flip over to some men's soccer. And Brian, as you mentioned, we called the game last night against Geneseo. It ended in a 2-2 tie. And I can already tell by your face that it's like you wanted that win because they were winning two straight and they just beat Potsdam 6-0. And, you know, taking that tough tie, I know it's not a loss, but it seems like it's a little like when you sit there, you're like, oh, like now we didn't win against a SUNYAC opponent. We took a tie, but it's just, I don't know. It's kind of like that middle ground where you're like, I'm not like overjoyed, but I'm not like really upset about it.
Yeah, I think the tie, watching the entire game, tie was a good outcome, but they did go up 1-0 in the first half. And they came out of the second half. And I don't want to say they looked a little flat, but Geneseo came out of the second half running.
Yes.
They scored the first goal in the second half, tied it at 1. The Lakers' next goal by Ha-Joon Lee was, I almost want to call it fluky. The goalkeeper fell on the goal line and it went to the opposite side. If the goalkeeper doesn't fall, then there's a chance that's saved. It wasn't like it was a rocket shot. It was kind of bouncing along the ground. It wasn't slow by any means, but I think it was definitely like a savable shot that was kind of fluky. Geneseo then goes back, ties it back at 2, and then it was a very physical game. Lots of fouls, a couple yellow cards towards the end. Mm-hmm. So it's just, it may not have been the result the team was looking for after going up 1-0, but I'd rather walk away with a single point instead of none.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like, you know, they've now on a 3-game unbeaten streak. That's good to look at. You know, obviously that is including, I believe it's 2 ties. I believe they tied with...
It's 2 wins and a tie.
2 wins and a tie, yeah. And then I was thinking of the tie against Fredonia September 17th, but they lost 2 straight against Brockport and Cortland. But, so they're in a 3-game unbeaten streak. It's something good to look at. But, I mean, let's talk about... Obviously, we're talking about the game against Geneseo and how... It was really Andre Buscelli. He stood out with that game. 2 straight games that he has been the starting goalkeeper. And man, as a freshman, what an impressive, like, I wouldn't say, like, debut because he's been going in and out, but just an impressive, like, stat line for that, for that freshman, for Dan Kane. It's just been unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, he had an outstanding game from set pieces. They did allow one goal from set pieces, but from the corners, he is tall, he is lanky, long arms. And he, almost every corner, he was there grabbing the ball or punching it away. He made the moves. We saw him go full stretch a few times, even on balls that weren't necessarily savable. They were wide shots, but he was going full stretch. It was fun to watch.
Yeah, and I mean, the ball went over one of the plays. Geneseo kicked it, and it went over the top of the crossbar, and he was still reaching out. Like, you gotta admire the effort of Buscelli right there. And man, I'm very excited to see what he can do this season and also down the road, because if you can have that effort in your freshman season, imagine his development in sophomore year, junior year, and even senior year. And it's a good piece, good building block for Dan Kane and the men's soccer team. But I mean, let's talk about, obviously they won big over Potsdam last weekend, 6-0.
Yeah, massive win. 6-0 over a Suniac opponent. Their first Suniac win of the season. Like you said, Buscelli was in goal for that one as well. 6-0, that's a goal onslaught. And four of those goals were in the first 10 minutes of the second half. Yeah. By the 55th minute mark, they were up 5-0.
I believe it was either three or four goals in 10 minutes.
I think it was four, because it went goal, Poston grabbed a red card, yeah, and three more goals. That's ridiculous.
Nuts. Yeah, it's nuts to see, because, you know, I mentioned on the broadcast yesterday how Oswego is more of a second-half team. They're more of, they won't really score much in the first. They only scored one against Potsdam and then blew up for five more in the second half. And then against Geneseo, they scored one. But then they scored another one against Geneseo, and it seemed like that script wasn't really the same. But you got to admit that that Potsdam win was huge, because, you know, not winning against Potsdam, you're 0-3-2. You're now only 1-2-2. So it's something that you can, you know, for Dan Kane and this Oswego men's soccer team, you can look at that and be like, all right, at least we have one under our belt.
Yeah, and I think we have to look at, like, team leader Kieran Gilroy. Now 6 goals in the season, he scored in 4 straight. So each of the last 3 games they haven't lost, he's put a goal in, and he put a goal in their 5-2 loss to Cortland 2 weekends ago. He's got 6 goals. That's tied for second most in the Suniac. He's having a great year.
Yeah, he's having a great year, Brian, and he has, as you mentioned, he scored 4 straight, and he scored in 4 straight games. And as you mentioned, he scored 2 against Potsdam.
Yeah.
And that was, like, he was the deciding factor in that game. I mean, without that, they're only up 4-0, and it's that consistent leader on offense. And then you got to also give it to Kyle Genrich. I've seen him, like, all season be that big energy guy, and he is going with toe-to-toe with each defender every single play. He's, like, from one side of the field going up, sprinting to the other side of the field, and it's like he's like the Flash out there. It is so great to see these two guys just be the leaders of this team, and they're the leading scorers.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it last night. Genrich would be down in the corner trying to fight the ball off a defender. And then a flash. Boom. Like you said, he's like the Flash. All the way down the field, and all of a sudden, he's the guy leading the charge on attack with, like, a chance on goal. It's like, one second he's playing defense, the next second he's all the way up on the field on offense. He is the hype guy for this team. He is energy. And then you pair him with Kieran Gilroy, big body, up top. I mean, we've seen it multiple times. He uses his big frame. He boxes the defenders out. He has a great control of the ball coming through the air. Like, that is a dynamic duo.
Yes, a dynamic duo indeed. And then the last 4 games for this Oswego Lakers team, it's going to be good for them, because It's four straight Suniac matchups. I mean, they got Plattsburgh State this Saturday. They got Buffalo State upcoming Wednesday next week. They got Oneonta next week. And then that following week, they have New Paltz. Two of those four games are going to be at home. Plattsburgh is going to be at home. And then the final game of the season against New Paltz will be at home. And, Brian, obviously you want to win all four of them. And you want to end your season with a good record against the Suniac. But what would be for Coach Kane, what would he want out of these four matchups at least? Like, how many wins would he want, like, at least? Probably, like, three or four?
You know, I mean, looking at the standings, Plattsburgh, New Paltz, Oneonta, all above them in the standings. Buffalo State, only team behind them of the games left. I think Buffalo State, you have to win it. I think Plattsburgh, they're tied with they have the same record. That's probably a must win this weekend. And then you're probably looking for a tie versus New Paltz, and you want probably a tie versus Oneonta, though they are looking really good this year, 7-1-2 overall. I think you can maybe take a loss there if the other three you're getting points from.
Right.
If you drop one of the other games, you have to get points at Oneonta.
Yeah, that's – I would say I would agree with you on that. I feel like against Plattsburgh, that's going to be a interesting matchup because if they can beat Plattsburgh, that's a good momentum shift for this team because right now, checking on the standings, they are right above them at 1-2-2. So beating Plattsburgh, they jump up against them. Beating Buffalo State, that just helps them a little bit more. And then obviously Oneonta and New Paltz are right there with it. So
yeah, I mean, it's 3 points for a win. You beat Buff State, you beat Plattsburgh. That's 6 points. They're on five. You jump to 11. So that's just it's the little things.
Yes, and it's going to be interesting looking down the line. But we are going to, before we head into field hockey, I would like to just talk about the Oswegonian. The Oswegonian is the independent student-run newspaper of SUNY Oswego. Every Friday during the semester, the writers and staff release a weekly edition of the paper. Each edition contains the latest news, sports, reviews, and opinions from the writers of the Oswegonian. Check out each story online on the Oswegonian website.
All right, so we're going to take a little move over to field hockey now because, you know, we talked a lot about them in the last episode, and we kind of predicted it. They hit the Suniac matchups. They start to fall away, and it's exactly what's happened. They're 0-2 in two Suniac matchups so far. Not what we wanted.
Yeah, not what you're wanting to see for this field hockey team. I mean, just going back to what our episode one, they won against Russell Sage 8-0 here at Laker Turf, and then they won against Keystone, and then they took the loss against St. Lawrence, loss against Rochester, and then they got into the Suniac. They lost 4-1 against New Paltz in New Paltz. They won at Laker Turf against Utica. They lost at Laker Turf against Oneonta this past Saturday. And then at St. John Fisher in Rochester, they lost 2-1. So you're not really seeing that offense come to life for this field hockey team. They got SUNY Cortland in Cortland this weekend. It'll be interesting if they can rewrite the script that was written last season. You know, we've mentioned it before. They ran into the Suniac, and I believe they only won one Suniac matchup last year out of all of the opponents that they were facing. So we got to see if it's the Suniac wall will be too much for them. Once again, it will be a little disappointing because it was a lot of hype in the beginning of the season against all of those non-conference matchups.
Yeah, I mean, they got five games left. Four of them are against conference opponents. Look at the standings. Each team has only played two games so far. So it's not the end of the world that the first two are losses, but you have to turn it around. You got, like you said, you got Cortland coming up. They're 1-1. Then it's, And then it's a non-conference matchup versus Nazareth next Tuesday. And then you got Brockport, Geneseo, Morrisville. Brockport 0-2, Morrisville also 0-2. Geneseo 2-0, top of the SUNYAC at 9-2 overall record. So that's going to be a tough one. But Brockport and Morrisville are right there with you at the bottom. If you want to rewrite it, they're coming up quick. Get some wins.
And their records are not as good as Oswego right now. Oswego's overall record is 6-5. And Brockport and Morrisville, Brockport's 5-5, Morrisville's 3-4. So you gotta take that and you gotta be like, all right, so they haven't won against as much games against non-conference matchups, so we should be able to have an edge. I know it's different in the SUNYACs because people play up to the competition in these conference matchups, but you know, there's got to be a little bit of urgency with this field hockey team. It seems like there's a lot of, like, it seems like from these past matchups, they're losing 2-1 once again. There's not a lot of fight with them on offense. It seems like the defense has been pretty good, they've stepped up in these last couple of games. But, you know, if Oneana and St. John Fisher are scoring a total of 4 against them and you're only scoring 2, it's like, you got to credit the defense here. Like, you're going to have to be able to score. The offense is the one who's scoring these points, not the defense. So.
Yeah, and I mean that Oneana game went to double over. It was a double overtime loss. It was 1-1. It was, I believe, 0-0 going into the second half, and then both teams scored once, and then it took to double overtime for the next goal that we scored. I mean, we saw this team scoring like 7 goals in a game at the beginning. I don't really know what happened.
Yeah, it just, I mean, against Russell Sage and Cayuga, it was really, those games were non-conference, and obviously those were matchups where Oswego is just the better team. And when it comes to, you know, Oneana and St. John Fisher, it's a little bit of a reality check. We gotta see what happens against, obviously, SUNY Cortland. We got Nazareth coming up October 11th, this upcoming Tuesday. We got SUNY Brockport next week at Laker Turf.
So, yeah, I think the field hockey team, they have some things to work on. I mean, obviously, what we saw at the beginning of the season isn't really there, but we kind of expected that with the SUNYAC opponents. Same thing happened last year. But I think let's switch it over to some women's soccer right now, because they're looking pretty good this year. They're 7-3-2 overall, 2-1-1 in the SUNYAC. And they got their first tie of the season, or first SUNYAC tie of the season, last night on a 0-0 draw versus Geneseo. So, I mean, I'm excited for this team. I think there's a chance at a playoff run.
Yeah, most definitely for this women's soccer team. And you also got to think, they won their last game 3-0, or not their last game, their previous game before last night. They won 3-0 versus Potsdam. And it's like with the men's soccer team, they won a shutout against Potsdam and then they tied against Geneseo. So, but women's team has been really good this season. They've been 5-0 at home. And, you know, in sports, being able to take home field advantage at home is just the biggest thing you can do for your team and for your confidence, because obviously when you go on the road, it's a different field, it's a different atmosphere, and they haven't really been bad on the road. They're 2-2-1, you know, could be better, could be worse, but yeah, I feel like they, you know, they're on a 3-game unbeaten streak right now, as well as the men's soccer team, so they're kind of, it's kind of a little mirroring the men's soccer team right now.
Yeah, and I think we have to look at it's like you say, 5-0 at home, 5 games left, only 2 of them are at the Laker Turf. So that becomes a little, it's like, okay, 5-0 at home, can they keep it up? Can they kind of repeat that success on the road? They got Plattsburgh coming up this weekend. They're going to Plattsburgh. Then they are home versus Buffalo State, home versus Oneonta, but then they head on the road for Fredonia and New Paltz. So are, like, it's an interesting end of the season for them, is what I'm going to say. An interesting end of the season.
Yeah. Right now, they are fourth in the SUNYAC. They're behind Geneseo, Cortland, and New Paltz at the top. New Paltz has obviously been really good because they are 5-0 in the conference, 8-1-1 overall. So they're fighting right now with Geneseo and Cortland, trying to get back up in those top three spots in the SUNYAC. But, you know, as you mentioned, they have five games left. They're all versus the SUNYAC, so a lot of opportunity for this team to go on a run, to go on a late season run and try to obviously get in that top three spot or try to get that top spot, because I believe they, you know, they have those two games against Buffalo State and Oneonta that are at home. I believe that Buffalo State is a win, personally. Against Plattsburgh, I would say going on the road, they're 1-3-1. I could say that was a win as well. Against Oneonta, they're also in the bottom of the SUNYAC. So you got, and as well as Fredonia, you got a really good schedule because you have the bottom four teams. Most of your games are against the bottom four teams in the SUNYAC, with ending the season against the first place New Paltz. And I think that's a perfect way to end it because they're the top dog right now. And if you're getting a lot of momentum from beating these low SUNYAC teams, you can go against New Paltz and it can be like that test. And you can go to New Paltz and then anything can happen. So it's going to be interesting down the line.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the perfect momentum build into that final New Paltz game. You go in, you got third from the bottom Plattsburgh, to fourth from the bottom Buffalo, to second from the bottom Oneonta, to dead last Fredonia. Those are four games that you can easily go in, take 3 points each time, and then head to New Paltz, hopefully on a high note. I mean, if anything, you need points. I think you need points in every game with the way the standings are shaped up here. Mm-hmm. I think you need to at least get a single point out of Buff State and Plattsburgh, and I think you need wins for Oneonta and Fredonia.
Yeah.
And that's 8 points right there. That'd be 15. That would tie them with what New Paltz is currently at 15. So I think New Paltz may be a little too far. I think they probably have top seed in the SUNYAC locked up. But Cortland Geneseo only 3 points ahead of the Lakers. I think they're reachable. I think you could jump them with an easy schedule here at the end. And I mean, if we're playing these teams, that means there's a good chance they're playing each other. Cortland Geneseo played each other. Cortland New Paltz.
Exactly.
Cortland, even Brockport. I mean, Brockport's tied with the Lakers here. So those are all games that you could go that, like, they're fighting each other. They're dropping points that we could be easily picking up and jumping over them.
It's definitely going to be interesting to see if these middle teams right here, Potsdam, Brockport, and Oswego, there's going to be one of those three teams is going to make a jump into this top three, which I'm predicting right now. Obviously, Oswego, it'd be good if Oswego was one of those teams, but I feel like with Brockport and Potsdam, there is a chance that they have an outside shot to get in that top three because obviously, Geneseo and Cortland are tied right now with points, but if they're going to be facing each other and then they're going to be facing New Paltz as well, that's something that you can look toward. You can look forward as a team that's like ranked middle and you're trying to get in that top three.
Yeah. So looking at Cortland's last five games, they've got Buffalo State, so probably a little game for them. Then they get New Paltz. Then they get Geneseo, Oneonta, and then Brockport. Three of their final games are versus top five opponents for Cortland. Like, those are games that they could easily drop points or get, like, if they get a tie, that's only one, or a loss. They get nothing from it. The Lakers could easily jump them.
Yeah. And looking at Geneseo's women's soccer schedule, they have their next game is against New Paltz in New Paltz. And then they face Brockport. Then they face Cortland, then they face Buffalo State, and then they end the season versus Potsdam. So right now, with the top four teams, or the top, the middle, like the second place, third place, and fourth place teams, Geneseo, Cortland, and Oswego has the best route to get into that top three and top, maybe even top two. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. I know that, you know, Geneseo and Cortland could play up to their opponents and they could just shut out the window for Oswego, but, you know, Oswego has a little bit of momentum and has a little bit of confidence going into these games against lower level opponents.
Yeah, and I mean, I just want to say, looking at the New Paltz schedule, it's not easy for them either. They're top seed, they're top dogs in Suniag right now, but they get Geneseo, Cortland, Brockport, a non-conference game versus Manhattanville. I'm not really sure how good they are. And then the Lakers. So their schedule isn't easy either. I think they maybe, I mean, they're 5-0 because they've started the season at Buff State, or their first Suniag game was Potsdam, then Plattsburgh, Fredonia, Oneonta, Buff State. So those, like, they had a pretty easy start to their season. Now, if I'm just thinking about this correctly, if all the tough teams are playing each other at the top, all the bottom teams are playing each other at the bottom. So there's a very good chance you may see a Potsdam, Buff State, Plattsburgh could make a run here on their own if they kind of decide they want to be the best of the bottom four right now,
mm-hmm.
or Potsdam best of the bottom five, and they could easily start jumping up, getting towards that top three too. So, I mean,
yeah.
This Suniac right now, wide open. I think New Paltz probably has their playoff spot locked, but I can't see any other team. I mean, I want to say the Lakers are there because they have a pretty easy schedule, but I mean, I don't want to be overconfident here. So, the only team I can see 100% in the playoff right now, New Paltz.
Yeah. Yeah, and I agree. Things are getting dicey here for women's soccer and the Suniac, but that is going to be it for episode 2 of the 104 Sports Report. This has just been, you know, talking about volleyball, men's soccer, field hockey, and women's soccer. We're getting to the end of fall sports, and then we're going to be talking about some winter sports coming up. We obviously got men's basketball, men's hockey, women's hockey, and women's basketball to talk about during the winter. And Brian, I can say for me, I am very, very excited for all of these matchups to get underway.
Yeah, I am probably just as excited as you. Men's hockey is one of my favorite times of the year. They got their first preseason game coming up October 15th. I am so excited to get back in the Deb.
Yes.
Get
the Deb rocking. They're going to be facing Stevenson University next Saturday, October 15th. Then they got Carlton Place. And then the season starts. And it's going to be exciting because Whiteout is this semester in just, I would say, about a month. About a month, Brian. Oh, my God. It is going to be insane. I am very excited for it. But we will calm our expectations. We will calm our composure right now. But, yes, I am excited. And we appreciate everyone for tuning in to episode 2 of the 104 Sports Report. Next week, we will recap pretty much all of these sports again. We'll pretty much talk about men's soccer, volleyball, and women's soccer and field hockey. We'll review, you know, the end of the schedule, and then with the teams that are going to the playoffs, we'll do a pre-prediction of who we can see in the playoffs. So,
yeah, and maybe a little teaser, maybe a little men's hockey in there too. You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
And maybe a little women's hockey. They're also playing next weekend. I don't want to forget about women's hockey.
Oh, of
They're
course.
Also a very good team.
Exactly.
They also play the weekend of the 15th. So,
yeah, we can't forget about
can't
it.
Can't forget about it. But yeah, maybe a little hockey next week too.
Yep. We can talk about everything here on the 104 Sports Report. For Alex Brooks, my co-host partner, Brian Burrows, this has been episode 2 of the 104 Sports Report. Hope everyone has a great night, and we will catch you next week.
See ya.